to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
What's going on, guys? It is another week and another show, another NXT review. It is Wednesday, December 11th. Big show tonight. I had a couple, a title match, kind of a grudge match. Not really even a grudge match, more of just like a battle between Mia Yim and Dakota Kai. And then you had your number one contendership match. That match was a fantastic match. A couple 4-star matches in this one, in my opinion, out of the 5-star scale. Of course, it's not Dave Meltzer's scale, but you know what? It is just how it goes. It was a hit or miss night tonight. A couple, lackluster matches, and then a couple good ones. So we're going to start out real quick with just saying, you can follow me on Twitter at TheCO Place to Go. Also on Twitch, but mainly let's focus on Twitter right now at TheCO Place to Go. And follow us anywhere on the underscore WWE underscore podcast, radio.com, Spotify, Apple, Speaker, anywhere you do find your podcast. It is much appreciated. Thank you for the listens. First thing I'm going to talk about today, normally I do This Week in WWE. I'm going to talk about AEW really quick. I have noticed that the AEW numbers are falling. And, that being said, NXT broke even with them, or almost even with them last week. I'm very interested to see where they're going to be this week. I personally think they're putting on a more consistently good show, name value-wise. Now, you take a look at AEW, they still are new. And one thing I'm going to say about AEW is I'm a big, indie wrestling fan when it, for Ring of Honor and shows like that when it would come to town. And you had, the Young Bucks, and you had the Bullet Club, which turned into the Elite. They weren't allowed to call themselves or be in the Bullet Club anymore, but, your Kenny Omegas, your Marty Scrolls, guys like that. Marty Scrolls still in Ring of Honor. But, you take a look at those guys, and I think they put on great shows, when it came to indie shows. Now, I don't know if their gimmick really correlates to what is a full wrestling promotion. You got guys like, Chris Jericho, Cody Rhodes, John Moxley / Dean Ambrose, those type of dudes. They are guys who have been in big time promotions, being in the WWE, ECW, New Japan, and it is very interesting to see what some of these guys are doing, but also some of the matches they put on are just awful. I like Jimmy Havoc personally. I did meet him over WrestleMania this weekend this year in New York, and he was awesome. I met him. He was in there for a couple days. Met Will Ospreay. I met a lot of these guys that were in there, and they were awesome. A lot of the Bullet Club, Tama Tonga, King Haku was there. Chase Owens, a lot of the Bullet Club guys, because New Japan put on a show at Madison Square Garden, and where I worked at the time was right next to Madison Square Garden. So a lot of these dudes came in, and they were really nice. Jimmy Havoc, awesome dude, but I don't understand some of the matches. A lot of the matches that AEW puts on are gimmick matches, and I'm all down for gimmicks. My version of gimmicks, your old school Undertaker style, Buried Alive, Inferno matches. The TLC matches used to be gimmick matches. Now it's a whole pay-per-view. But, I don't understand their matches. Their product overall doesn't do anything for me. I like the pay-per-view version of AEW. I do not like the weekly version of AEW. I hope it gets better. I hope sales continue. I know, they have not been selling out. And I don't want to say that NXT can be better than that. I do think they could. But they don't go on the road with their live shows. They go on the road for events. But in comparison to AEW, who goes to arenas, not big-time arenas, They go to like a lot of the medium-sized ones, and that's very, very smart because they don't put themselves in a position to where they won't succeed. I would love to see NXT try something like that. I think that would be awesome. Hopefully coming up soon. I think next year in February or March, they have no exact dates with Full Sail University. So, you know, I'm hoping for the best. I can't wait to see them. I know they're coming out to Vegas here in February. Tickets go on sale on Friday. Looking forward to that. Hoping to buy tickets. Hoping it's in a good spot where you can get some good good views. Like, you know, there's some arenas that just lack views, lack positions unless you're up close. And I just like being in the environment. I don't have to be front row. That doesn't do anything for me. I've had that before. It's just, you know, that's not where I'm at these days. I don't have any rants this week, though. So getting back to WWE, had some releases this week. Two of them don't really care about. Sin Cara was released. You also had The Ascension, who was released. It was funny because last week was Victor's birthday. We were talking about how they were not used properly. Victor was released. But also Luke Harper. I recently met Luke Harper. Really down-to-earth dude. Talked to you just like you were, you know, one of the boys. Or he was just a random dude, you know. Great conversation. Gonna miss that guy. I think completely underused or improperly used, to say the least. So, you know, I wish the best for Luke Harper, and I hope all goes well for him. We also had a couple suspensions. Bobby Roode and Primo, who is Eddie Colon, got nice little 30-day suspensions. For what? I have not seen. If somebody knows, please feel free to let me know. But I just feel that, you know, these suspensions happen less than they probably should. And apparently they don't get talked about right away. Like, you know, there is a period of time before when, you know, someone finds out about a suspension and it happens, and or the suspension comes out. There's a period of time. I don't know whether that's four weeks, 6 weeks. You know, they test way before. So it is something, you know, for Bobby Roode, feel bad. Like, I enjoyed him. This is another guy who I enjoyed in NXT. And then when they go up to the main roster, I feel like they fall short of their expectations or fall short of who they were when they were kind of made in the WWE flagship. Bobby Roode, great guy in TNA. And, you know, still wish the best for him. You know, he was in a program with Dolph Ziggler. As a tag team, they were champions, and, you know, wish the best for him. Hope he comes back. Primo, guy who's not very much used, these days. I would love to see Carlito come back and have that kind of like as a little faction, you know, just for maybe a year, 2 years. But you know, who knows? And yeah, John Morrison coming back. Very excited about that. Only other thing we have is, remember, the year-end awards for NXT. Voting ends on the 18th, so there's still one more week left. Winners will be announced on the January 1st show. We're going to get to some birthdays here real quick before we get into last week in the show. Birthdays, again, today, December 11th, you got three birthdays. You got Rey Mysterio, James Ellsworth, and Sonny Kiss. I'm going to start with Sonny Kiss. Don't know a lot about him. I know he's an AEW, very flamboyant wrestler, very agile. Some of the moves he does, you know, he's got a very gymnastics style of a lot of the moves he does. Next is going to be James Ellsworth. James Ellsworth, I enjoyed his story at the beginning with his move, the no chin music. Obviously, it's a super kick, but instead of the sweet chin music, no chin music, because he doesn't have a chin. His work with AJ Styles, I thought at the beginning, was pretty good. It didn't stand out for any particular reason. Like, it wasn't awesome. Move-wise for him, like, his skill set is not supreme, but it was a very good story. And then you have his Carmella storyline, which I thought was awful, walking around with Carmella. He interfered in the first ever Women's Royal Rumble, whether it got so much heat for that, they redid the Royal Rumble, and I forgot how long that was after that. It could have been the next week or the next month, but they redid the Women's Royal Rumble and, you know, continued from there. Last one's going to be Rey Mysterio, a great wrestler. Loved watching him for years. He was in ECW, WCW. He's been in, you know, on all the indies. when he took a little sabbatical from WWE. He's working with his son now, Dominic. Dominic's huge compared to him, but Rey's also very small. Some of the work that he did with Eddie Guerrero was fantastic. I know he's very, very close to the Guerrero family. And then my favorite Rey Mysterio spot, to be honest, is the NWO angle where Nash threw him into the production truck outside at the time it was called MGM Studios, Hollywood Studios, in Orlando at Disney. And I remember the police actually listening to Eric Bischoff talk, the police actually being called that day for neighbors in the surrounding area thinking there was a legitimate fight. Like when the NWO came out, it was big, and Rey Mysterio getting thrown into the truck was one of those big time spots. All right, so getting into last week we had a really good show, I thought, that set nicely up what happens tonight and where, you know, NXT is going in the next few weeks. One of the big matches, Pete Dunne versus Killian Dane, very hard fought match that I think will continue their feud. You do not see them on tonight's show. Kushida returned. I thought it was a great match for Kushida. Cameron Grimes came out. He was supposed to face Mendoza, and Grimes came out, hit him with a double stomp on the ramp, went in. Kushida got the win. And then the main event, Undisputed Era versus Keith Lee, Dijakovic, and Ciampa. With Balor coming in, sets up tonight's triple threat for the belt. Of course, Adam Cole doesn't think anyone deserved it, but, you know, it is what it is. And you have a very nice triple threat tonight, which I'm going to be honest with you, was a fantastic match. Some of the promos that stood out, Dakota Kai, calls Mia Yim a hood rat, which does set up a match for them tonight. Undisputed Era's Cole said that they are the Iron Men of NXT, and they've had a November to remember. Cassius Ohno came out and said he's the best British NXT wrestler, and he came out to promote NXT Worlds Collide. Tonight we had Trevor Banks on, who promoted Worlds Collide as well. So they're kind of setting that up as we go forward. It'll probably be every week. Are we going to see a UK invasion angle similar to War Games Survivor Series, I should say? Probably not, but it is a big event that's coming up in, when is that, January? Is that what's going on in January? It's the Royal Rumble and Worlds Collide. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that it's in January. And then you had Baszler, who made the match with Rhea Ripley official. That is next week. So that's going to be a very big match, and something I'm looking forward to seeing that match. And I think you have to have Rhea Ripley win to kind of solidify her growth and continuation in the women's division. So to start tonight, I'm going to do it just a tiny bit different than I have been doing it. A lot of times I would sit there and say a lot of different moves and try to give as much of, like, not really a play-by-play, but a little bit of a play-by-play. I'm just going to kind of give some highlights, because my thing is I want you guys to watch this show. Like, I think this is something, if you have the WWE Network, you know, it is a show that you should watch. I watch it. I catch some highlights, you know, for little highlight reel situations. And then a lot of times, depending on how good the match was, I'll end up watching it again on WWE Network. Like I said, I do not watch Raw and SmackDown other than highlights. I do not participate in those nights' shows. Moving to the West Coast has been tough in the sense that the shows are on a lot earlier than they would be on the East Coast. Even if they do put it on at 8 o'clock, the show has already happened on the East Coast. And especially for Raw, by the time Raw is over, you know, it is just starting on the East Coast, so, or on the West Coast. So, you know, you take a look at it like that, and it's very difficult to keep up with those events. But if you can, you know, just pretty much put your horse blinders on and just look straight ahead. I look towards NXT every week on Wednesdays. That's my one night I dedicate some time to wrestling. So the first match of the night was Angel Garza versus Lio Rush. Now this is for the NXT Cruiserweight Championship. I'll be 100% honest with you. I think they had a great match. A really, really great match. The first time they had a match, a lot of near falls. I thought Angel Garza was going to pick up the win the first time. And in this one, I'm going to be 100% honest with you. We do have a brand new NXT Cruiserweight Champion tonight. It is Angel Garza. It was a great opener. I mean, both these guys delivered. crowd was into it. It was a great way to kick the show off. You do see the NXT Cruiserweight Championship being defended a lot on the beginning of the shows. So you have, to me, cruiserweights, I used to feel this way in WCW, cruiserweights add a lot of intensity to your show. And, you know, you let's say you have a guy like Rey Mysterio on there, like having him out there just gets everyone fired up. And this match was exactly that. You know, Leo Rush attacked right away. Garza came at one point and was trying to remove the pants, but Leo Rush stopped him. He missed the come up. Garza hit a nice little drop kick for two. There was a lot of two counts. There was more two counts in this match than I think there are in a lot of full shows. It was intense. You know, we go through the match and there's a lot of counters. A few enziguris. It was a great match. You know, once Leo Rush he ends up connecting with the final hour. As he's getting ready to be pinned, Garza gets the pants off finally towards the end of the match. He escaped to the floor. Leo Rush went up to the top and hits goes for the final hour again, but he gets knees straight to the chest and gut back in. Garza hits him with the wing clipper and Leo kicks out. The wing clipper submission version of that gets put on Leo Rush. And he gets the win. Win by submission. Again, great way to start the show. This was a 4 out of 5 match for me. This is a match, like, I don't want to get into too much some of these matches that are really good because I want you to see them. Like, I don't want to sit there and ruin the show for you. I'm trying to talk to you about the show. I want to hear you, what you have to say about what I'm saying about the show. And I want to go back and forth. I mean, like, you know, I kind of wish the show was on Tuesdays. We'd call it Toxic Tuesday NXT Review because I want you to say stuff. I want you to be in to the show. I want you to feel the show. And so this is one of those matches. This one, I'm going to be 100% honest with you. Like, you know, skip ahead here. The main event, great matches. Need you to watch both. Very, very important to me. And I want to discuss them. I feel Leo Rush was, you know, you're never going to hear me say, you know, that Leo Rush was a great champion. Leo Rush was a fighting champion for the NXT belt. Once Angel Garza came in, kind of with a little cocky attitude, I felt like him and Leo Rush would have a little bit better feud. You know, obviously Leo Rush is going to get his rematch. But, you know, where do you go from there? Who in the Cruiserweight division is going to step up to Angel Garza? To me, other than Leo Rush, I don't really see anybody. I would love to see Rey Mysterio get a quick, you know, run at the belt. But, you know, he's in bigger things. He's a U.S. champion right now. So it's like, you know, where do we go from here if Leo Rush doesn't win on that rematch? Where do we go from here? Where does Angel Garza go? I don't know. Is Kushida under 205? I mean, he might be. If he is, I could see him. I'm not a good judge of weight, so I'm not 100% sure. So, again, great, great start to the night. Next match was Cameron Grimes versus Raul Mendoza. This match kind of thrown together based on Mendoza getting jumped by Grimes last week. Not much to mention about this match. You know, right as the match starts, Mendoza attacks at the bell. He goes after Cameron Grimes. Let me tell you, he just goes insane. He follows up with a tornillo to the floor, back in, but Grimes cuts him off. Now Kushida shows up. He arrives, he distracts Grimes. Mendoza hits the nice Rana into a cradle for the win. Short match. Couldn't have been more than 2 minutes long, I don't think. And I'm not a huge, you know, fan. I'm going to be honest, at least it wasn't a roll-up. I'm happy that it wasn't a roll-up. It was by distraction, but, you know, Cameron Grime, this is kind of I call him Trevor Lee all the time, but, you know, Trevor Lee is meant for better things than this. I think the match with Mendoza is a blow-off match. I think he's going to end up crushing him in a couple weeks. It does continue the Kushida-Cameron Grimes feud. that kind of started last week. This match for me, though, based on how it went, to me it's only a 1 out of 5. After the match, I had Kushida taking his hat. He put it on. Now, if that doesn't get anybody salty, I don't know what would. It was a cheap heat, you know, obviously on camera Grimes with that hat from Kushida, but it was it was all right. It wasn't special, but I will say that I'm a big Kushida fan, so I'm hoping for the best for him. Next match out is one of the match I was talking about when I was mentioning promos. You had Travis Banks, who is a NXT UK guy. To me, this was all about getting someone from NXT UK into the show to promote Worlds Collide. He was against Jackson Ryker. So the Forgotten Sons come out. Jackson Ryker is the one who was wrestling. Travis Banks comes out as well. They brawl at the beginning. Banks takes control. Ryker cuts him off with a suicide dive. Or cut off the suicide dive, saying, brings him back in. Starts throwing him around, found him with some clubs. Some nice strikes. Banks fires back. Hit a nice corner drop kick. And another one on top of that. And then Banks heads up top and he misses the double stomp. Ryker cuts him off and they trade missile drop kick. Done by Banks. And I believe his move is called the Slice of Heaven. I kind of miss that. But I believe it's called the Slice of Heaven. Banks gets the win. Another short match. Couldn't have 2-3 minutes max. But again, this was all to hype Worlds Collide. Which I'm looking forward to. I don't know a lot about NXT UK. I don't know a lot about it at all. But I am looking forward to seeing a nice, you know, pay-per-view that has that. It was super. Now, you're going to hate me for this, but super, super cheesy Survivor Series feel where you got two different groups facing each other, whereas Survivor Series is three now. But it's going to be a pay-per-view that I'm looking forward to seeing. I mean, do random guys like that get me excited to watch it? Not really. Like, you know, I want to see Imperium are the guys, or Tyler Bate, Pete Dunne. You could throw Killian Dane in that. I feel like he'd be great in NXT UK. But his name value right now and kind of the storyline he is in works a lot better in just regular NXT stateside. Next match you had was Mia Yim versus Dakota Kai. Now, gosh, there was an issue last week. The issue started at War Games when Dakota Kai turned on Mia Yim and Tegan Nox and Team Ripley in general. And so it kind of got out of hand last week when it was supposed to be Rhea Ripley versus Dakota Kai. Mia Yim came out and ended up fighting her. There was no match. Rhea Ripley ends up getting jumped by the horsewomen. And Baszler says she gets her title shot next week, or 2 weeks, next week now. But, you know, it is weird to me because, like, you know, Baszler got jumped, and it's like, you know what, we were going to jump you, but now guess what, you earn this title shot. So to me, that's a little bit strange. Not going to go too much into this match. There was a ton of kicks. I mean, Dakota Kai was on team kick with Tegan Nox. It was a good match. Towards the end, you know, you have Dakota Kai going to grab the knee brace. She goes to grab the knee brace, but the ref takes it from her. And as he's taking it, she exposes the turnbuckle, which she runs Mia Yim into it and hits her with, like, a nice little reverse cradle for the win. Decently long match. I was actually pretty happy with this match. Overall, it was 3 out of 5 for me. Nice intensity. And it's a story, like, this whole thing. It's a feud, but I feel like it's going to a longer-term story, whether it's just Mia Yim, but it relates to Dakota Kai and I think everyone who was on that Team Ripley roster. A 3 out of 5 for this. Like I said, decently long match. Cheap way to win. That's kind of Dakota Kai's thing now, you know, cheating to win or doing dastardly things. But after this match, I'm going to talk about it in the, you know, what made this. After the match, there was a Mia Yim attacked Dakota Kai, hit her with a cannonball against the steel steps, ends up suplexing her up by the stage, and it was kind of on the two tables, but, you know, when you saw it, you couldn't tell something messed up. It just looks like it kind of broke a little bit strange, but Dakota Kai hit the tables a little strange, and I know she got cut up on the back. She had a nice laceration on her back, stitches, I would assume, maybe staples, who knows, I don't know what they're doing, you know, these days, but it was the post-match definitely helped continue what's going on and get, of course, the good guys, Team Ripley, and them, put them on top. Next match is a couple guys I haven't seen in a few weeks on TV. Probably even longer than that. Probably closer to a month. Breezango was out there. I love Tyler Breeze and Fandango. They are what I think the tag team division needs. A established name tag team. I would have loved to see the Ascension go back down to NXT. I know they were flopping around on the main roster for so long. And they just got released, which, again, is too bad. But I would have loved to see them back down there. But it's nice to see Breezango. And they face the Singh brothers. I can't tell you who was Sunil and who was Samir. I think even when it was one of their birthdays recently, a few weeks ago, I think I messed it up and said the other person's name. So I'm just going to say the Singhs. You know, it was a decent match. You know, you have Tyler Breeze, who after the Singh brothers kind of put some, you know, put some fire into Breezango. To me, Breezango's a lot of fun. They are a good showman. They're exactly what, you know, wrestling needs. And it's not as ridiculous as some of the stuff on AEW when it comes to, like, when I say showman and doing, like, little funny gags and things like that. I don't personally think the Singhs are good. I didn't think they were even good as Jinder Mahal's managers. But, you know, this match wasn't terrible for being short. Probably around 5-6 minutes. You know, eventually with the Singhs, we're attacking Breezango. Breeze battles back. Hit him with some kicks, tags in Fandango. He connects with a nice missile drop kick. He got the a nice two count with the Avalanche Falconero. A couple Falconeros there was fantastic. You know, Fandango wins with a top rope leg drop. It was, like I said, an okay match. I only gave it a 2 out of 5 because the Singhs to me, like I said, are awful. Now, no one is as bad. Okay? No one is as bad as Aaliyah. Aaliyah's awful. Like, I will watch the Singhs run like the Freebird rule of the heavyweight. WWE heavyweight, Universal, old school heavyweight belt, Intercontinental, it doesn't matter what championship. I would rather see the Singh brothers have that than watch Aaliyah wrestle. And that's how strongly I feel about how bad Aaliyah is. Again, this match, 2 out of 5, kind of got off on a little tangent there. My apologies. No big news on Mauro Ranallo this week. Nobody made any comments to where he you know, stayed in it under a rock or anything like that. I don't know. No, I mean, who is it? ACH / Jordan Miles. He continues his stuff online. I don't even know who to rant about these days. But Aaliyah's terrible. Awful. Awful, awful, awful. Next match is going to be Kaden Carter versus Bianca Belair. Match started off a little strange. Belair threw a coat at her and started beating her down. Carter actually did pretty decent. I gotta give it to Kaden Carter in this match. She ended up winning about 5-6 minutes. Bianca Belair, that is. My problem with Bianca Belair is she talks a lot of crap in the ring. Like, she's always, you know, talking to her opponent and kind of like, you know, belittling them, screaming at them, yelling at them, you know, doing stuff like that. But not in like the same mode of a Shayna Baszler doing it or Rhea Ripley. You know, she does it and it's like, you know, usually every time it happens, it bounces back on her. And again, it happened in this match. So Belair was talking crap. Carter fired back, but Belair ends up hitting a slingshot suplex. Carter ends up countering what I believe was a standing moonsault. But Belair ends up hitting her with a spear and the KOD for the finish. Like I said, this was an okay match. Belair got a win and she, you know, she looked pretty good doing it. But I don't know where the direction of this match goes. You know, for me, a 2 out of 5 on this. But where does Bianca Belair go? Does this push her to the top? You know, let's say Rhea Ripley wins next week, and I 100% believe she does. Let's say Rhea Ripley wins. You know you're going to have Shayna Baszler get a rematch. You know that. Like, that's 100% without question. But then where do we go after that? Is Dakota Kai in a position where she's going to get a shot? You know, let's say she beats Mia Yim if they have another match. Is she in that position? What about Io Shirai? You know, and you have not a huge group of women who are fighting for this belt right now, because everybody's friends with everybody. And I know, you know, I think this sets up Rhea Ripley versus Kaylee Ray, which to me is fantastic, at Worlds Collide. But we shall see. I kind of do hope Shayna Baszler makes an appearance in the Women's Royal Rumble, and makes her way up to WWE. I do think losing the Horsewomen in general is bad for NXT, but I also don't see a lot of future for Jessamyn Duke and Marina Shafir. That's just my opinion. Just my opinion. Final match of the night, the main event, the number one contendership match to face Adam Cole next week. Tommaso Ciampa, Keith Lee, and Finn Balor. Now, I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I'm not going to cover a lot of the moves in this. This is a match to watch. It's not even about what happens in this match. All that matters is Keith Lee looks fantastic. It was a decently long match, probably close to 20 minutes. The end, to me, was... Oh, it's one of those where... You know, it typically happens in a triple threat match where you have one guy takes out another guy, but he is also hurt. And then the third guy swoops in and picks up the win. And that's kind of where we're at. This was a 4-star match for me. Like, it was fantastic. This is a match you need to see. The moves in this match, you know, you feel you have Ciampa and Keith Lee, who are both good guys. Of course, they did moves on each other. You know, but I think it keeps them kind of, you know, the good guys of NXT. I think it keeps them kind of strong. I mean, I do think that it does, you know, you got Finn Balor with the win, but does this set up Keith Lee having any type of feud with, hopefully not Tommaso Ciampa? I think Adam Cole finds a way to beat Finn Balor. I think Finn Balor and Keith Lee will have another match. I think this sets up a feud for them. I think Ciampa finds a way into Adam Cole and ends up taking the belt back. I don't see them giving it to Balor for a short period of time, because I think Ciampa's going to get it back around WrestleMania. And yeah, is 5 months, 4 months a short amount of time? Not really, but I don't think someone like Finn Balor should only hold the belt for 4 months. You know, I think if Ciampa won this, won the belt, and then lost it to Balor at WrestleMania, I totally think that would have been awesome. I mean, everyone in this match looked awesome. A super hot crowd in this. And it was just, everyone brought it. The three guys here brought it. Ciampa, Keith Lee, and Finn Balor brought their A game. 4 out of 5. It's hard for me to give a 5 out of 5, but they brought it tonight, let me tell you. I'm going to go over what stood out for tonight. Obviously, lead match, title change, Angel Garza versus Lio Rush. A lot of close calls, ton of 2 counts. Like I said, probably more 2 counts than I've seen in any match on a typical card. It was fantastic. Definitely rematch on this one. Something I'm looking forward to. Next match that for me that stood out was the Mia Yim and Dakota Kai match into the post match. To me, the post match was big. There was, you know, the distraction, the cheap way of winning with the exposed turnbuckle, leading into getting beat up outside. Mia Yim looked strong in this one. I don't think Mia Yim is going to be a title contender ever, but she is. What did I call her last week or the week before? A poor man's Lita, bootleg Lita. Yeah, I mean, that's what she is. Then the number one contendership match. I mean, what can you say in this? Or what can you not say in this match? Fantastic match. Loved it. Must watch it. I'm actually going to watch it tomorrow. Again, just so I can watch it and comment more if I have to next week. Because it was fantastic. The promos. It was a nice hype promo for Rhea Ripley and Shayna Baszler. Fantastic. I briefly caught it. What I caught looked good. Rewatched it on YouTube right after, real quick. Fantastic promo. And then Angel Garza, after his match, he proposed to his girlfriend after the commercial break. Of course, she said yes. Well, not of course. I shouldn't say that. Gets people in trouble. But yeah, no, he proposed to his girlfriend. She said yes. It was fantastic. Nice little moment. Now, where do we go from here? Next week, you have Shayna Baszler versus Rhea Ripley. And you also have now, tonight, the new number one contender. You have Finn Balor versus Adam Cole. Like I said, where does this go from here? I think if Finn Balor loses this match via disqualification of some sort, I think a match with him and Keith Lee will happen. I think Ciampa slides into that spot against Adam Cole, gets the win at WrestleMania, maybe at Worlds Collide or Royal Rumble or something like that. But I just really think Ciampa's big coming out is going to be WrestleMania. They didn't set anything up for 2 weeks from now, so we shall see. 2 weeks from now is Christmas. Is there a show on Christmas? I'm not 100% sure. Will I be covering it? We shall see if there is one. Please feel free to reach out to me on Twitter at TheCO, place to go, with any questions or comments. I would love to cover them. Great night, like I said. Some down matches. You know, the Cameron Grimes match, the Riker and Banks match. Things that, so-so, not awesome, but not terrible. With the Bianca Belair, with the and with the Mia Yim match. Mia Yim and Dakota Kai, it was great storytelling. Bianca Belair, so-so. But like I said, 2 4-star matches. Night overall was really good. Must catch those. Starting to lose my voice, not sure why. So I am going to be talking to you guys soon. Thank you.